Real Business Owners.
Guys, welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 20, brought to you guys by Easier Accounting. Now, we've had a few people reach out to us and ask if we work with small businesses. Guys, we work with any size business nationwide. If you need bookkeeping, tax prep, payroll, make sure that you reach out to us. Today's episode is going to cover safety nets, guys. Safety nets ultimately give you a false sense of comfort, and me and Kel wanted to chop it up with you guys a little bit in regards to this topic and why we're not big fans of the term or the word safety net. Kel, do you got anything to add to that real quick?
What's up? No, I'm just glad to be doing another episode. I like these ones where it's just the two of us, man. Sometimes we're able to chop it up. I love the ones with the guests, too. But
dude, there's been some good ones.
We haven't done one like this for a minute, and I like these ones, too.
I've got a lot of response from Jeff's podcast. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of DMs like, man, this one was really, really good.
If you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to it. Jeff's brilliant, man. That's why I wanted to have him in. Like, guy's just always succeeding at things that he sets his mind to. So I know he could bring a lot to the group for sure.
People were DMing us and quoting some of the stuff that he said. And one guy yesterday liked that he figured out what the word entrepreneur, where it came from or whatever. It was like grasp and swim or something like that.
Yeah.
But, guys, we've had a few people reach out to us on direct message, and you know they're obviously scared to start a business, you know, because they don't want to utilize the money that they have in the bank to start something new, because that's their safety net. And me and Kel were talking about this a little bit this morning, and Kel brought up one of his first investments, or property investments, I guess, probably more so, and that was when you didn't even have any money.
Man. I mean, do you want me to talk about that story first? I mean, we got some cool things, man. First of all, like Trevor says, man, there's no freaking safety nets. Like, business is scary. Mm-hmm. Investing is scary. There's always risk. And at the end of the day, like, that is how you get results, is by pushing through the fear. I always tell people, I tell my kids, I've talked about it on this podcast, I've talked about it on social media, like, fear is literally a future thought of something that hasn't even occurred yet. So quit like living in that. Like, yes, you're gonna project things and you're gonna, you know, see the fear of like possibly losing money or whatever, but at the end of the day, like, dude, hasn't even happened yet. So you're holding yourself back because of some imaginary thing that hasn't even happened. So if you want better results, you're going to have to take some risks and you're going to have to take some sacrifices. And so when Trevor brought up this topic, I was like, yeah, man, that's a great topic. Let's talk about it. And he has a story to share with you guys here in a minute too. But I told him, I was like, bro, my very first investment was in real estate. I didn't even own a business yet, but I love money. I wanted to make an investment, and a property came up for sale right before the big boom of 2000. It was during the boom. Mm-hmm. I think I bought it in 2000.
It's probably right before it, because you ended up selling it and making a decent chunk of money.
Yeah. But I had no money, dude. Like, I was a sales guy living to the max. Even though I was doing pretty good money, I had a bad habit going down to Mesquite and Vegas and gambling. And then, obviously, I was living to the lifestyle that I was living at, because I was like an 18-year-old kid coming into making some decent money in sales. But I love money so much, I wanted to put money to work for me, too. And so, but I didn't have any money. I didn't have anywhere to start. So I literally made an offer on a condo. Okay. And it was after I bought my first home, no money down.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even put 1 cent down. Like, they were handing out loans like candy back then.
Oh, yeah.
And I did an 80-20 loan on my primary residence. Did good on that one, too. I made like $130,000. I walked away from closing with that. But because buying that home was so easy during the mortgage process, or back then with the mortgages, like, I was like, man, I want to buy a rental property, too. And so my very first investment, it was scary because I had no money. They asked for earnest money to lock that property up, and I didn't even have the $500 to do it, because I had just bought my home and probably bought some furniture.
Yeah.
So I whip out this credit card with like a $2,000 limit. I'd started with a $500 limit, and I was trying to build my credit too. Like, as I would get good history, I'd ask for increases, but I had a $2,000 limit credit card, and they send you those checks in the mail.
Oh, the balance transfer checks.
Balance transfer checks.
Yep.
And I wrote it out for $500 for my earnest money to lock this property up. And I didn't know what I was doing, man. I had a realtor friend, and he's like, dude, you know, this could be a good deal if you clean it up and fix it up a little bit. And it was zoned to do nightly rentals too, before Airbnb. Like, you would have to go through these other companies and rent them out. It was kind of a resort area, one bedroom condo, but it did need some updating as well. So after I got that earnest money paid off, and it took a few months of like going through and doing closing and locking that property down, I ended up asking for an increase on that credit card. I applied for a few more credit cards, and I pulled out $7,000 or $8,000 right around there. I put new tile in, new carpet in. I went in and did a bunch of stuff myself too. Like, I did some cabinets, did some painting. I even furnished the property. I went and bought some cheap sofas, put new pots and pans in there because it was a nightly rental. So all together, man, I'm like $7,000-$8,000 into this thing, all on credit. And I start renting it out nightly, and it's barely covering the mortgage. So I'm not even able to make my credit card payments. So then I ended up finding a guy that wanted to do a long-term rental. He rented it out for about a year and a half. I nightly rented it for about 6 months. So all in all, I owned this property for about 2 years. And I bought this thing for like $45,000, and I ended up selling it for over $80,000. You know what I mean? So it was a pretty successful first-time investment. Yeah. Right after that is when the market crashed too. Like, I bought it in 06 and
crashed in 08.
It crashed in like 08, dude, hard. I might have even bought it in 05 and sold it in 07. It was right before the crash.
Yeah, but those things now, those same condos are probably selling for double you sold it for. I don't even know what they're selling for now. Dude, at least 150,
Tyler,
something like that.
That bought his first property here, I told him not long ago. I was like, dude, if I could go back, I would keep every property I ever owned.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have sold any of them. Obviously, right? Like, look at the market. And even through the downturns, like the properties I dumped in the downturn, man, I wish I would have kept them.
Yeah, you would have made a couple
hundred grand. Because I've had several real estate investments, and I've lost my ass on because I sold when
you got scared.
Yeah.
The market dipped. Everyone got scared. And what do they do when they're scared? They liquidate.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with stocks.
Yeah.
They watch their stock start to plummet, and then they sell at a low because they're scared of it going even lower. And that's probably why you got rid of the Jadora property. It's like things are dipping. You're like, damn, I'm upside down equity in this thing.
Let's just get rid of it. Yeah, that would hurt me, dude. That would hurt me for years to come. And those decisions that you make in a scary market are, you know, they can affect you for years and years to come too. But the whole point of this story, I mean, man, safety nets. Like, holy crap, man. Like,
I had no safety net and
still found a way to get this property done because I wanted a better life. And I ended up netting like over $40,000 on this property because I was able to push through even though I didn't have a safety net. So don't let you not having a safety net hold you back from like not going after and getting what you want to get. Like,
I mean, there's a few stories. I mean, even Jeff talked about it on episode 17. Mm-hmm. He had $13,000 left.
Yeah.
And he basically burned through the whole $13,000. The majority of people's mindset would be that $13,000 is my safety net.
Yep.
Now I need to go get a job and conform to the norms of society and just get a good paying job, show up every single day, do that whole spiel. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the reality is, when you utilize the word safety just in general, it's going to give you a sense of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're trying to progress in life, why would you want to be in a comfortable state?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So comfort's considered the enemy, right? All growth happens outside of comfort zones. And so the word safety net, it's a false sense of comfort, you guys. If you have $5,000 in the bank, $10,000 in the bank, $15,000 in the bank, I don't even care if it's $50,000 in the bank. You put that money there and you feel better about yourself. And usually when you do that and you have a sense of comfort, you end up taking your foot off the gas.
How many people DM you, dude, on Real Business Owners account that talk about that relative statement, safety nets?
Yeah. Well, I get it all the time. And that's why I wanted to do a podcast under this topic, because me and an individual had a great conversation it was either last night or two nights ago about, hey, well, we want to do this. I know it'll work, but, you know, we've got money in the bank, but that's kind of our safety net. Hmm. And I said, a safety net for what? And he says, well, just in case the car breaks down or, you know, something happens. And I said, so you have money sitting there, so when something happens, you could just go broke anyways? You don't want to utilize that money for the possibility of something greater. You only want to utilize that money for something negative.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for a fact, once it's gone and you fix the car, that money's gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why wouldn't you want to use the $10,000 that you have available to you to create more opportunities so that you have a second source of income so that you don't have to worry about cars breaking down because you drive new shit?
Yeah. Dude, that totally reminds me of when you had this, dude, your own parents, man.
Yeah.
So, your own parents, dude. Like, people got to hear that story.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, that's it. Really is. It's and I think a lot of people fall in that exact same category. There was an investment that came my way, and it was it ended up being $60,000. And I told the individual that I was going to invest. You know, and the more that I learned about it, I couldn't stop thinking about my parents. Right. They are getting closer to retirement age, 60, 61, 62, and they don't really have retirement set up for themselves. And to be quite honest with you, I think, and I told another individual this, I said, I think maybe that's one of my motivating factors of why I want to be successful is to make sure that the people that I'm around don't have to worry about, you know, their finances or worry about money. Money shouldn't have to be a worry.
Right.
As long as you're making the right decisions, right? Well, they invested, you know, 50 grand previous to, you know, try to have their money make them money, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. And so in most cases, you're now paralyzed.
They got burned, which got makes burned. That fear thought even more at the forefront.
Yeah.
You know,
it's huge now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always rely on history and past experiences to help you make decisions, or most people do anyways. And when it comes to an investment that you got burned on for 50 grand, and now there's another opportunity to invest 50 or 60 grand in something, that fear is going to be quite large. And so that brings me full circle. And I couldn't stop thinking about them because it was an opportunity not to immediately make a bunch of money, because, you know, anytime somebody presents something to you that's going to immediately get you rich or make you a ton of money, that should be a red flag right off the bat. But I saw the upside, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road for some residual income. And it was nothing crazy. You know, it would be anywhere from probably about 3 to 5 grand a month,
right,
that they would be making if they invested this money, or I would be making if I invested the money. And it got to the kind of one of the last final steps. And the individual that presented it to me knew my parents, right? And so I asked, I said, how would you feel if I presented this to my parents? You know, and have them come in as a partner and own 20%. And
because you knew they got to
do something.
Something coming in
something
at their age.
Something has to happen.
They can't be relying on their small safety net that's just not going to sustain them through their elder years.
So what happened is they sold the old property that they had, and they ended up getting like 70 or 80 grand, right?
Yeah.
And I knew about it. And so
that was their safety net.
That was it. Yeah. You know, and so they even said that when I initially – and when I talked to them, I said, how do you feel about my parents investing? They said, we would love that. Well, that's fine. I'm good with it. And so I called my parents and said, how do you feel about it? And they were initially kind of open to it. And when we get to talking about it more and more, obviously fear, you know, when it becomes more and more real, when it's time to divvy up the money, that's when your fear is going to be at an all-time high. And so and I was having a conversation with my stepdad, and he's like, well, you know, I'm just concerned. That's kind of like all we've got. And I said, that's your safety net? So you go into retirement with 60, 70, 80 grand.
You're like, what's scarier, dude?
Yeah, exactly.
That?
Yeah.
Or the investment?
Exactly. So it's like, there's nothing safe about that money.
Yeah.
If you go into retirement with that, how long is that going to last you? 2, 3, 4 years? All you're doing is burning money. I said, you need to get rid of that money and get rid of that false sense of safety that you think that you have so that you could create something.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist. There's no safety in 50, 60, 70 grand. Now there's an opportunity for safety if you invest that money and now it brings you into a residual income for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, most people can retire off of 3, 4 grand a month or 5 grand a month, you know? And I knew it had that type of upside. And so I had to have this same conversation with my parents and explaining that to them that, look, if you have 60, 70, 80 grand and you try to live off of that, it will be gone and you will end up with nothing and you're going to be in a very desperate situation. So you might as well get rid of that now and be in that desperate state now and hustle your ass off so that you can build a retirement and have some sort of income coming in on a month-to-month basis.
Yeah.
And so they ended up investing, and that was in January or February this year.
Almost a year.
It's been almost a year, and it seems things...
3 quarters, yeah.
Exactly as projected. Things are working out as planned, right? And so...
Well, I remember when you brought the investment even to me to talk about originally, and you took a lot of time to vet it. And so like people shouldn't just go throwing their money at everything because they're like not going to worry about safety nets now. But at the same time, like you got to be wise. You got to vet the process, which you did, and you got to understand that industry and everything, and you got to understand the deal too. Like, what is the deal? And so obviously you did a lot of that too before you even took it to your parents. But yeah, I mean, definitely still be wise about, you know, these investments and stuff that you do get into, but don't let the safety net
hold you
be
back.
Thing that holds you back.
Well, I mean, this individual on Instagram, you know, was like a yoga studio or something like that, and he's like, "Well, I've got the money to do it. I just don't want to get rid of that money in case something happens."
Yeah, I get that because I've done it too.
Yeah, I said, "Get credit cards then."
Yeah.
I would rather have an opportunity for more rather than have money sit there that you know for a fact that something will go wrong eventually and then burn that money up and it's never going to make you any money ever.
Yeah.
Right? All you're doing is just covering negative things. I mean, safety nets don't exist. They don't exist, and it's giving you a false sense of comfort. And you guys should be looking at opportunities for your money to make you money. Now, if you're already in business, you should be doing the same thing. Instead of living a grand lifestyle or whatever that we've all been guilty of, you know, buying houses too soon or, you know, expensive cars too soon or living going to Vegas and gambling or whatever it is, you should be utilizing that to either do one of two things, reinvest back into the business or start other businesses.
Yeah.
How many times have we taken company money and started new businesses?
Dude, so many times. Honestly, dude, like if somebody's worried about their 10, 20 grand safety net being gone, like do you realize how much money you could probably have just by eliminating a few bad habits in your life and creating a few healthy habits? Like I had some pretty bad habits when I did that real estate investment. And even when I started our very first company, like, do you know how much money you can make just by putting in the time to an extra hustle and getting rid of some of the bull crap that you do in your life, like gambling, drinking, smoking, chewing, whatever it is, right? Like all those things cost money. And if you kicked a few habits and actually focused on saving some money, like you could still have a little bit of a safety net and still invest into better opportunities for yourself as well. Like when we started this whole company in the basement, dude, I spent $7,000 on phones, leads and computers. Like
how much money did you have in the bank when you did it?
I don't even know. It's been so long ago. I didn't have a ton. Yeah. I just bought my other home after I sold the one home, dumped a bunch of money into that. Like I didn't have a ton of money. Like $7,000 was a lot of money to me back then. Yeah. But at the same time, like dude, pick up the phone and hustle.
Yeah.
Like
I mean
Gary Vee says go out and freaking get yard sale crap and flip it and you can make a few grand a month. Yeah, like people do that crap all the time.
There's ways to make more money and have your money make you money, but it takes effort.
Yeah.
The problem is most people don't want to put in effort. Most people want to, you know, put in their 8 hours and then it's done.
Yeah.
They don't want to do more, right? Like you want more, you have to actually do more. And if you want to end up working for yourself, you're going to have to put your own money at risk.
Dude, one's going to invest into you.
Nobody.
Based on a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And another thing is I think that, you know, some people, when they have, you know, 10 grand, 20 grand, 30 grand, I think that they're the baller of their friends.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
There's some bad habits that come along with that.
The people that they surround themselves with don't have any money. So because you have 10 grand or 20 grand or 30 grand, you think that you have money.
Yeah.
You don't.
And then you're showboating for your homies. Like, I got drinks tonight. I got dinner tonight.
Yeah. Dude, I've done it. Shit,
we've gone through these phases, which is why we're talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
But dude, I mean, effort is a good, healthy habit that you should implement in your life. Like put in the extra effort if you want the money to invest into a brighter future. You know, eliminate some of these bad habits. If you're really holding on to a small amount of money as your safety net, like you probably got some bad habits and need to develop some better ones.
Guys, understand this. We have quite a bit of money in the bank and we still are working for more and greater because I prefer not to feel safe. No. I prefer to want to push myself, right? You put yourself in these situations where you invest money, I promise you there's going to be a whole different level of effort that you produce behind that money. Because if that's everything that you have, then you're going to give your effort everything that you have because the alternative is losing and you're not going to want to lose what took you 2 years, 3 years, 5 years to save up and build. But the fact is, if it took you that long to save 10 or 20 grand, imagine if you stay on the exact same path that you're on.
Exactly.
So you're telling me it's going to take somebody 40 years to save up 100 grand or $150,000, then what? Now that's your safety net and you're not going to want to utilize it to invest.
Yeah.
Right? And so the fact that people even utilize the term or the word safety net is putting you in a situation to where you're not giving 100% of your effort because you feel safe.
Yeah.
Who's going to fight harder, the guy that feels safe or the guy that feels unsafe? The guy that feels comfortable or the guy that feels uncomfortable?
Well, wealth is just never going to be created that way. I mean, go read the book Richest Man in Babylon. Very first chapter talks about, like, you're never going to create wealth unless you put that money to work for you. You know, he talks about every little penny being its own little slave out there working for you. You know, like, you're the slave owner of all these pennies.
Yeah, no,
that's really what the book talks about. But that's how wealth is created.
We talked about that, and we did a video on that about, we called them soldiers, though.
I like that better.
We said, you know, have your soldiers go out and capture, you know, the enemy, or capture, what did I call it, Austin?
Prisoners.
Yeah.
Your returns.
Yeah, exactly, right? You put your 10 grand out there and you've got 10,000 soldiers, and hopefully they capture 5,000 prisoners, right? And bring it back to you. Now you got $15,000. I think it's just a way that people look at money is they're just not looking at it properly. Some people utilize it as a tool for growth and benefit, and some people utilize it as a comfort or safety net.
Well, and honestly, to touch on that, dude, like, if you are looking at everything you have as the safety net, it's really showing that you've got a lack of confidence in yourself that you can go out and win.
That's true.
You got to be a winner, man. Like, work on, like, believing in yourself. Work on winning, because if you're a winner, you'll make it work.
Well, why if you're
gonna, don't expect to lose.
If you're going to bet on anybody, why the hell wouldn't you bet on yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
And if you can't bet on yourself, that's a sad life just in general, right? And then that comes to a whole nother point where you now have confidence issues. Mm-hmm. And if you have confidence issues, that's probably because you're not doing anything above and beyond what the normal person does, which is go through their routine of 8 hours, go home, Netflix. The fact is, if you don't have confidence in yourself, there's ways to create confidence in a very, I mean, hell, you're doing 75 hard, and that's a confidence builder. You set out to do something and you accomplish it.
Yeah.
And you do that over and over and over, your confidence level will build, your discipline builds, and then maybe you'll feel more comfortable putting your, if you're low confident, why wouldn't you bet on yourself? Yeah. Or why would you bet on yourself if you have no confidence?
Dude,
so it makes sense.
I guarantee you, dude, if somebody was like, went and did our Prime Your Mind Challenge and then rolled into 75 hard, by the end of that 85 days, you will have the confidence in yourself to build something.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? You should.
Yeah.
And that's when you should invest your money and quit looking at it as a safety net, because, dude, you will win if you expect to win and you are willing to take the risk and get uncomfortable and have the discipline in order to make something work.
You guys can do one of two things. You can utilize money for your gain, or you can utilize money just to buy things, right? And that's really it. The problem is 90, 95% of people utilize money as a tool to buy things and just put a roof over their head. All you're doing is legitimately working just to survive.
Survival mode is not
you're
good,
in survival dude. Mode. That's all you're doing. You go to work for what? To put a roof over your head and put food in your mouth.
Yeah.
And then you get a car so that you can go back and forth to work so that you have a roof over your head and food in your mouth. That's all you're doing. That's the definition of survival mode.
Yeah.
And so you have to be on the attack. And if you're not on the attack, you will end up 30, 40, 50, 60 with no retirement and have this 50, 60, 80, 100 grand, 150 grand as your safety net. But your level of fear will still be there.
Yeah.
You're still going to be scared. Like, retirement is a scary thing to think about, because the amount of money that you need to retire.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's always growing.
And if you don't shift your perception of how you view money as a tool for gain rather than a tool to get, a new car or whatever, the iPhone 11. I mean, it's just insane to me. Some of the things that people spend money on that are broke.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable, man.
They have $150 pair of Jordans or sneakers, but yet they have $150 in their bank account.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things that people could do to cut back. Like you were talking about, you know, one guy said something how he needed some money on Instagram. And I look at his profile. This dude looks fly as shit. He looks, dude, he's got nice ass clothes on, hella nice shoes on.
Yeah.
And I said, how much money are you spending on all that shit? And he's like, well, I sell some of the stuff on the side. And I'm like, well, you should sell that shit that you're wearing.
Yeah.
And that will give you the, because this guy wanted $5,000. And I'm like, you need to cut back on trying to look the part and actually be willing to do what it takes to live it in order to get it. Too many people are emulating the end result, trying to look rich rather than going through the process. Mm-hmm. You should be emulating the process. If you want to really know what successful people have done, don't look at where they're at now. Why don't you research the beginning stages of what they went through in order to get where they are now? Well, whether it's Bezos, whether it's, you know, any of the big guys, even us, you know.
Dude, I mean, they're jets, they're Lambos, they're Rolexes, they're fancy cars. I mean, all that is a tool that makes them even more money now.
Yeah.
But it didn't. They gave all that shit up to get where they are, to where that now they have a life of abundance. They can enjoy those things and use it as a tool.
Exactly.
But you can't do that right now if you're looking for 5Gs, bro.
Yeah. Again, and the other guy that wanted 5Gs, this was a whole different dude. I got $1 million idea. And I said, if you're $5,000 away from $1 million idea, the fuck are you doing talking to me?
Yeah.
Like, you should be working a second, third, or fourth job in order to get access to $5,000 so that you can be the millionaire that you're said that you can be if you have $5,000.
Yeah.
Right. And so, guys, understand that, you know, you're going to have to make sacrifices, and whether that's putting your money at risk, whether that's working a second or third job. Alex was a great example of working cleaning offices, delivering pizzas at night.
Oh, 100%.
And that was the sacrifice that he had to go through in order to get the results that he wants or to get the outcome that he's looking for. Too many people think that they're above working fast food or retail or this or whatever it is. Like, I promise you, your future self would thank you if you really actually spent 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it took, in order to get that extra money. I mean, if you had a job where you made an extra $10,000 a year just part time on the side, and you did that for 3 or 4 years, there's $30,000 to $40,000 that you could go put out into wherever, whatever opportunity that you wanted, and it's not taking away from your base or your shelter or your car or your food or whatever it is. Like, we're not telling you to be dumb, but we are telling you to change your perspective on how you view money and how it should be utilized to your advantage.
And honestly, it's really simple. You already know that. You already know this stuff that we're talking about right now.
I know. That's what's frustrating.
It's just like, dude, just do it. Just make the sacrifices on the bad habits and start putting in the effort on the good habits.
Yeah.
You really want something, save up the money and go start it. Go build it. Go create it.
Create it.
It's not that hard, but you do got to start with having the confidence in yourself. If you're holding on to safety nets, man, you are expecting to lose. If you're willing to risk your safety net, it's because you have the confidence in yourself to build something and you are expecting to win.
Exactly.
You know, so
same thing with investors. We're talking about money just in general, safety nets and creating opportunity with money, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I posted that thing in our stories, and then you replied last night about something in regards to investors. And we get DMs on, hey, just seeking an investor, you know, or whatever. And it's just like, okay, well, what's your credit score look like? Oh, well, it's not that good right now. I'm working on it. It's like, you guys should be working on your personal credit and making sure you have good credit. Cal kept extending his credit card limits. And all that is creates opportunities when you have access to money or access to capital. But investors don't want to give startups money. And especially somebody that has bad credit that doesn't have a proven system or model. Now, if somebody came to us, we get people approaching us all the time. Hey, man, I've got $200,000 or I've got $50,000. What should I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming to us because we've proven that we could take money and make money with it.
Yeah.
Right? Why would I give somebody that's never proven themselves to be able to take money and make money an investment?
Yeah. I used to hem-haw around this. Guys would come to me, hit me up for whatever, $5,000, $10,000 investments.
Yeah.
And
you probably
I used to him haw around it. He used to be like, yo, listen, it's not you, dude. Like, you know, like I've just got this going on and that going on.
My
like
portfolio.
You know, I'm not really looking to put that kind of money out right now. Yeah. Bullshit. You know what? I was lying to them. It is you, dude. Why the hell would I invest my hard-earned money into you when you ain't even willing to invest into you? You're looking for my money, but you told me you don't have the money to put into it. Like, if I saw you were putting most of your own hard-earned money into it and you had the passion and drive to build something and it had potential, I probably would invest.
Or if that you say, hey, man, if you're only looking for 5 or 10 grand, you could do that by working a second job, and they're not willing to do it.
Yeah.
But yet they've been telling you, if you give me 10 grand or 20 grand or 30 grand,
I'm
going to work so hard. 2 and 2 don't equal 4 right there. You're telling somebody that you're willing to work so hard and you're going to turn 5 grand into $1 million, but yet you're not willing to work hard and get a second job and make that type of sacrifice. Because when you start a business, it is like working two or three jobs.
Yeah.
You're thinking about the business the first moment that you wake up, and the last thing you think about before that's all you think about when you're trying to create opportunity for yourself. And if you're not willing to work at a second or third job in order to create the capital for an investment, what the hell makes you think that you're going to be successful in business anyways? Because it takes that type of hours in order to be successful.
Go watch the damn Shark Tank. Look at the guys that they actually give money to. They're like, I'm $500,000 in. I created this product. I've already got 800,000 in sales.
I've mortgaged my house.
I've ran out of everything. Yeah. And because everything's got momentum, I can't stop now. Here's an opportunity, Mr. Wonderful or whoever, right? Yeah. And then they do. Those are the ones they invest into.
Exactly.
Not the guy that's got an invention that he hasn't put a damn dime into. Yeah.
Well, there's no proof of concept.
There's no momentum.
It's an idea.
Yeah, there's nothing in motion.
Exactly. The idea side of it's cheap. The action is what really speaks volume. And if you're not taking action on your own goals and your own – if you could literally change your own life by having access to 10 grand or 20 grand, you can have access to 10 or 20 grand. It might not just be today or tomorrow. It might be in 6 months or a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
Opportunities are created, not given.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
And that's what people will invest into, too. They're not going to invest into you when you ain't investing into you.
Exactly.
You ain't taking the risk. You ain't, you know,
you're
putting
not working
your heart
hard.
And passion and time into
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And you ain't got nothing to prove. So,
exactly.
To them. So. Well, yeah, dude, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, it was a good episode, dude. I liked it.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Hopefully a lot of people benefit from it, too.
Hopefully everyone's kicked their safety net thinking asses to the curb, and they're now going to start, you know, putting some
cut the safety net.
Yeah, start bullshit. Putting some risk into them. Build the confidence. Do the
invest
work.
Invest into you. Take it. Gamble on yourself. That's
Absolutely.
All you're doing.
That's all we've done, man.
You're gambling on you. Have the level of confidence that if there's even a sliver of hope to make something work, that you will figure it out.
Yeah.
Especially when you got your own money on the line. I guarantee you're going to figure it out far more, or the opportunity to be successful. Like, you'll find a way when it's your own money. But when times get tough and it's somebody else's money, it's easy. This isn't working.
Yeah.
Guarantee you're not going to say this isn't working when it's your own shit on the line.
It's true.
You know? So what are we wrapping it up with?
I don't
Anything
know.
Cool?
That was a good topic, bro.
I thought
that
it was a good topic. I think it's a topic that a lot of people need to hear, because a lot of people depend on.
And you know what? You should want to start with your own shit. You should want to start with giving up your safety net to start what you want to build, because you are going to work harder when it's your money on the line. And when you work harder to not lose your safety net, you're going to get a quicker return.
Guaranteed.
And you're going to, you know, you're going to propel yourself into a much better direction. So
would I work harder for somebody else's money or my money?
Yeah, exactly. So let's wrap it up with that.
Exactly. Like, you work harder when it's your own damn money on the line. If you're putting 40 hours a week in for somebody else's money, you'll put 80 hours a week in for your own money just to make sure that it doesn't go to waste.
100%.
Guys, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure that you leave a review, you subscribe, make sure you tell a friend, family member. You know, we're trying to give value to you guys that hopefully changes your perspective on, you know, life or business or money or whatever it may be, so that you guys can grow and evolve. And, you know, we appreciate you guys tuning in, and hope you guys kick ass this week. Thanks.